Now you can give me your answers.
So Dennis says that we never die.
Am I correct? Yeah,
that's a fun conversation to have with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, let me correct that.
If we never die.
Let me correct that. He never said that we never die. He said, how do we live when we know that we don't die?
We know that we don't die.
Right.
Well,
which is a false
statement. The first time, though, Dennis, you said, how would we talk to people if we mm-hmm. didn't mm-hmm. die?
Okay. So I modified the question a little. I apologize.
It's a false statement.
I like the first one better.
Yeah.
It's a false
statement. How would you have, what would the conversation sound like? If you, in talking to someone, if you yourself knew that you're not going to die.
Dennis?
Quick. Yeah.
I'm sorry, remedial here, but do you mean nobody dies and you know that, or just you don't die?
Okay, you know it.
Careful.
Everybody, technically, everyone has the same life, God life in them. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about God all in all. There is no possibility that anyone can be outside of God. Everything exists inside of God.
Okay.
That's another problem. That's another topic.
So everyone has the energia, the life energy of God existing or operating in them as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
we agree
on God ever die? Can God ever not exist?
No, but we can.
Okay, well, we need to define what that means.
It wasn't defined in the question that you asked.
Okay, we're giving some context, giving some background to the question. If we live inside of God, who is infinite, and we use the word eternal, that is, he never is not existing. He exists forever.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our existence. Nothing exists outside of God. And God himself exists eternally. He's infinite. He knows no boundaries. There is no death.
And yet we still die.
Okay. Now, when we're talking about knowing or having an awareness of that life that we have in God, what does that do to our own consciousness, our own awareness of who we are and how we exist?
That's what he
got. God is spirit. We have his spirit, eternal spirit. How does that then impact how we act, how we talk, how we live? Someone had a question with Jerry. Was it you?
Well, I'm just saying that's what eternal life is.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's okay. The same thing as eternal life.
Okay. Well, here, let's further talk about that. What's the difference between someone who says they have eternal life and the person who says they don't? Aren't they both existing in God?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have one yes. Everybody raise it. Both unbeliever and believer are the same in that we both exist in God.
Mm-hmm.
So we both have God life in us.
But does it
stop? Let's put it this way. We exist in God life. Go ahead.
But does it stop when we die?
Okay.
Spiritual person keeps going on, and mm-hmm. maybe the other okay. one does.
Who are you really? Who are we as a self entity, a person? The reality is that we are a spirit being. First of all, we are a spirit being in that we have God life. We exist in God. He is spirit. We exist in him as spirit.
Hey, Dennis,
mm-hmm.
can I go through the question that you posed in the email yesterday?
The question was,
how would you act or speak if you knew you would never die?
Exactly. Okay.
So going back to your earlier comments about how we should speak to other people about that.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to lie and tell them that we don't die?
No. Here's the thing. Will anyone ever, as a spirit person living inside or existing in and through God, will that person ever die?
Yes.
As a spirit?
Part of the spirit, like I told you yesterday, part of the spirit identity that we have is connected to the vessel that we're in.
All right. What I'm attempting to have us understand is that we are, first of all, a spirit being.
Mm-hmm.
We are a spirit being that exists inside of God. We live and move and exist in God. He is all in all. There's no other way we can exist. We live inside of him. And that means then, if God is spirit, living in God means we are a spirit being. Can a spirit ever die?
What was Jesus's identity?
Yep. Scott, can a spirit ever die?
No.
No.
What was Jesus's identity?
Okay, first of all, a spirit can never die. Was Jesus a spirit being?
He is a spirit being.
And he was.
And yet we celebrate his death every year.
Right. Was Jesus a spirit being?
Yes. Why do you say was? Why do you say was?
Yeah, he was and is. He is. Jesus never. His spirit being never died.
No.
Now, Scott, what happened at the cross when there was something that he breathed and said at the very last moment of his.
Why have you forsaken me?
No.
It is finished.
I lift my hands. No, I have to read it.
Yeah. He has to look it up.
Your hands, I commit my spirit.
Before he died.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was he saying? His spirit was leaving his earthly body.
Before he died.
What is the only thing that can die?
The only thing that can die is the container, the flesh.
Unless it's mortal, it cannot die.
And like, you know, like we're told in Romans 6, you know, Jesus has overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Into your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, Father, I am once again fully, thoroughly, completely with you. I am, my spirit is leaving this body.
As they told Adam and Eve, he has become like one of us.
I'm leaving the body that you have given me.
Mm-hmm.
Psalmist, there's a psalm that says, a body you have given to me. My ear you have pinned to the doorpost. There's a lot into that statement, but a body you have given me.
Which is what God.
God gives each of us a body.
Right. And that's the, that is the fragile part of us that, that doesn't accompany us from when we're.
No, it's that's a house.
The coffee mm-hmm. cup. The coffee it's cup the coffee can break. Cup.
It's the house that is our temporary dwelling. And it's the dwelling where our spirits are sent to dwell. Now, what's the difference between us living, having a body, and those that are with Christ?
We can't see them.
And we can't see them because they don't have a
vessel.
They don't body. Have a body.
Well, if we go back to the to this discussion about angels,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm one of those people who believes that there are those of us who have seen people from the other side.
Okay,
I do believe that. I mean, some people today call it paranormal. I don't think that's really the case. I think it's just people mm-hmm. from the other dimension revealing themselves or mm-hmm. having us, you know, having momentarily the eyes to see
okay
what's on the other side.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But are angels necessarily from the other side, or aren't they just celestial beings
yes.
that mm-hmm. God had created and you can see them
mm-hmm.
because they come to earth and we can see them. We don't have to, you know, it's mm-hmm. they're not in this weird dimension like people who have died are. Not a weird dimension, but a different dimension where we can't see them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the scripture tells us that they're in heaven as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're wherever they want to be.
But where is heaven?
Yeah. Well, heaven is the other parallel dimension to us.
Mm-hmm. Heaven exists parallel right here.
Yeah.
We just don't have eyes to see into. See, our mortal eyes don't have the capacity of seeing into that dimension.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I tried to discuss, you know, with you yesterday about the paranormal aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just people or, you know, very, very few individuals who had their eyes opened to that other dimension momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so many people who have died, Scott, and think about it. I mean, though, and especially like Dennis said, the non-Christians, you know, I think those are the ones messing with us, you know, because they don't go. You don't depart earth and your spirit goes to heaven. We just can't see that dimension.
Now, how we see an angel, how Scott believes he has seen people he's known, that's a mystery. They apparently can appear with a body.
Well, and
if you've ever had engagement with angels, which I know I have, I mean, it's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, you see me every now and then.
Thanks for showing up, Scott. Yeah. We've had angels visit us.
How do you know for sure? You said you interacted with one.
It just says they were normal beings. Case in point, and you'll recall you've had situations in your life. Shirley and I were traveling. I think it was one of our first or second trip to Europe, and we come back train into Frankfurt, mm-hmm. and the train depot terminal is underneath ground there, and you need to know the exits, how you can get above ground, and we have reservations in a hotel, mm-hmm. and the hotel, it's connected to the airport very closely. When we got out of the train, it was like, where are we? It was so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And up walked this young gal in her 20s, 30s. Do you need some help? And clear English. And I know you can find English-speaking people in Germany. That's no problem. But this gal was just clearly, she not only understood what's happening, but could speak to her. And she said, come here, follow me. And took us upstairs. And she said, now, she said, here, I want you to get back on the train and just go with me. And we got back on the train, and the train went for about another 2 minutes. And she said, it stopped. She said, this is your exit. And of course, she said, I'm going to get off with you. And she did. And we were so enthralled with having found the right exit and the stairs and looked around. He's gone.
Yeah. Hey, Beth, I want you to look, if you ever get a chance, look at the scripture, Hebrews 13:2, which is one that mentions or refers to angels interacting, which I've had experience with as well as Dennis.
And that scripture says, rightly so, that we've been unaware.
Right.
Most of the time, we're not aware.
Right. And you know what? And I know that there are angels, and I know that we've interacted with them. But I also know that because we are living, we are Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we just do the right thing. We're not angels,
mm-hmm.
but we're doing exactly mm-hmm. what Jesus would have us do, as a, you know, like mm-hmm. what an angel would do, but we're mm-hmm. we're just us.
Okay.
Isn't that more Jesus working through us than
okay? Now, if he were Jesus, describe our life as Jesus. Do we have a physical body?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have flesh.
Yeah, so we have limitations.
Okay. Whose flesh is it?
It's what was assigned to us, our individual, our mm-hmm. well, but there's no individuality. It is what God gave us.
Right. But is it jointly shared with Jesus?
It's jointly shared, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what happens someday when that flesh gets sick, ill, and dies? Jesus no longer lives in us?
Not in that vessel or particular coffee cup.
Not in that vessel. But are we still alive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're alive as Christ is alive. We live in him. He lives in us.
Yeah.
And we go on. We mm-hmm. never die.
Part of us dies.
Who is your life?
Jesus.
Scott, yeah. Scott, who is your life?
Well, Christ is.
All right.
Now go to the flip side of that coin. How many times does Jesus have to die?
idea. Your question is, I don't know where you're coming from.
No, we're going to the question of the flesh. What is the flesh connected to? Is the flesh connected to us, or is it connected to Jesus?
It's both. We share it.
So both we and Jesus both died.
That vessel that he shares with us
dies,
goes away.
Right.
We go on with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because our life is not the vessel.
But there is still death.
And the death is only related to something that can die.
Yeah. We don't have to fear it anymore.
Exactly.
But there's still death there.
Yeah. You see, death has no meaning, has no hold if there's nothing there, if nothing around can die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so here we are. We still live in these vessels that are mortal. Mm-hmm. They are subject to death. But how do we live and act and speak? Maybe. What is our attitude about how we live, knowing who we really are? What do we say about death?
David?
I'm going to go and be with Jesus. That's what people say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks be to God. I think it's probably time we look at some key scriptures.
How have we come so far?
Okay. There's a couple places you can find this same idea. Romans 7:24. O wretched man am I. What will rescue me out of this body of death?
Death will.
And what is the next word?
Thanks.
Grace. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is grace? Grace is that life we have as Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Consequently, then I myself with the mind indeed enslaving to God's law, yet with the flesh to sin's law. We won't get into that. What he's referring to is my mind knows that I'm operating. In fact, in the next chapter, verse 2, not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. For the spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm. But listen to the words of Paul. This body of death.
Mm-hmm.
Even he knew.
Yes. What's going to save me out of this body of death?
He had to die.
Grace, the power of living by the Spirit.
But if he didn't die, he never would have gotten rid of his body of death.
Okay, so I used to use this analogy years ago, and it's quite fitting still for us. Most of us understand or have flown in airplanes.
Uh-uh.
And when you fly in an airplane, you are experiencing what's called the law of aerodynamics. All right, the law of aerodynamics says that if you have a certain velocity and lift, you can supersede what other law? What other
gravity?
Gravity. Mm-hmm.
Gravity is always there. It's always pulling us down. In fact, if we didn't have gravity, life would be impossible, chaos, right? So we live with this ever-present law of gravity.
But the law of aerodynamics is always there too.
The law of aerodynamics is there if we
apply it,
if we have faith and understand and appropriate it,
mm-hmm.
we live in a victory. We live in a life of superseding the law of sin and death. And we live in that currently and presently. This is how we live as Christ. Death and sin are always there. Gravity is always there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not control us. It does not bind us. It does not hold us. We are free. And we can operate this way, even though we still have a mortal body. And at some point, this body will die and we'll be totally free. No longer will we be having to think in terms of the law of aerodynamics.
Well, Paul tells us
mortality.
Paul tells us a couple of times that we're not to fear death.
Exactly. More than a couple of times.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you seeing this? In Christ, we are automatically appropriating the law, the spiritual law of aerodynamics that defeats the law of sin and death. Okay. So we are operating in a sphere that most people don't understand. We can call things that are not as though they are. That's what faith is. Faith is seeing through this spiritual law. I know that I live free. I live by grace. Paul said, what's going to rescue me? Grace. Go ahead. Somebody? I thought somebody was asking something.
I mean, that's my thing is that, yeah, we don't have to fear it because we know what our eventual home is going to be.
Okay.
But yet something has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something major has to happen in order for us to attain
mm-hmm.
that reality.
What has to happen, Scott?
We have to die.
No, if
that's the major event that has to occur.
Can I operate in the sphere or in the law of aerodynamics before I die?
Well, no, but I do have a challenge for you, Dennis.
Yeah, I know what the challenge is.
No, I want you to right now stand up and go and talk to your dad or go and talk to your mom.
Yeah, right.
Can you do that?
No.
There, you just made my point.
I am living in a mortal vessel.
Right.
Scott, haven't we kind of talked about this? Like if we could use the full capacity of our brains, like we only use 1% mm-hmm. of our mm-hmm. brain's capacity,
mm-hmm.
And some even less than that. But if we could see the other dimensions, we could mm-hmm. have all that pretty much
mm-hmm.
is the way I understand it. And just to clarify, you're saying grace is the aerodynamics.
Grace is an all-encompassing term. It is the life of Christ. It's the power of Christ. It's the energy of God. Grace is so powerful of a term. We can't begin.
But in that analogy that you were using, gravity was mm-hmm. sin and grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's grace in operation. When we can see ourselves as not letting the mortal, not letting death take us or control us. We operate through a greater dimension, a higher law.
Hey, Steve.
And that law is the law of the spirit. We are free. We're set free. That means now, right now, not Scott in, after we die. We are free now. But, now, what, again, what's the difference between the believer and unbeliever? Both have the life of God.
Mm-hmm. They just don't realize
the believer is the only one that knows it. You know how...
Well, you're a Dennis, you're a believer.
Yeah. Before you became a Christian, how hard was it to sin? If you ever think about it?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It was easy.
I know you're going with this because we didn't realize what sin was.
Exactly. But you had no difficulty sinning. Mm-hmm. Now that you're a believer, is it easy to sin?
Well, now that we know what sin is.
Okay. Now, however you want to define it, Scott, is it easier?
No.
No. Why isn't it easier?
Well, sin is sin. It's always been the same.
Why is it harder to sin now?
Because we know that there are. Or we know that it's not there.
We know something, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, a few moments ago, you said eternal life. You used the phrase eternal life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus defines what eternal life is. In John 17:3, he defines what eternal life is. Or as the Bible said, aeonian life. We need.
Can't wait to see this.
I want us to be using the correct terms, not a man-made term. Eternal life is a man-made term. The Bible says aeonian life. What is the definition of aeonian life? John 17:3.
That we now, may know.
It is Father. Aeonian life that they may know you.
Mm-hmm.
That they may know you. What's the difference between a believer and unbeliever?
The knowing.
One has a knowing.
So even if we know God, why do we still have to die?
You get the feeling this guy gets on a one-track thing.
Well, no, it's a legitimate question.
Why do we have to die, Scott?
And the question that I asked you a few minutes ago has gone unanswered.
In your mind, yeah.
No, yeah. Not in my mind.
Yeah, well, obviously, you keep asking the question.
The question was, let's put my own situation into it.
Okay.
How come I can't talk to my mom?
You live in a mortal body still.
Right. That body is tied to mm-hmm. our spirit.
You are in slavery to a mortal flesh. As long as you live in that flesh, you are subservient to it.
Yeah, we all are.
Right. Except when we have a knowing of what our true life is.
I know God. I know that Christ is in me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How come I can't talk to my mom?
And you will talk to her as soon as you are released from this mortal body.
But why can't I do it now?
That's a good question. Ask God.
Seems like a contradiction.
Yeah.
So...
Seems like a mighty contradiction to me.
So we are living as spirit beings. That's our knowing tells us who we really are as spirit beings. I know God is my Father. In fact, I have this knowing tells me I can call him Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's my origin. He's my source. He's who I am. He's who I live in, where he lives in me.
So
an unbeliever has no concept of that.
So we did, this is the eternal life that we are mm-hmm. that we have mm-hmm. after our death, is that we know him.
He didn't say after death, Chad.
But that's
what you're hung up on.
No, I'm not hung up on anything. It's just, it's something that we're tied to.
We're tied to the mortal flesh.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop our ability to know who we really are. Now, Scott, go in your Bible and find if there's ever occurrence where mortal people have been able to talk with those in the next dimension. Mm-hmm. I can think of one case right now.
You and I were talking about this very thing yesterday with the the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah. No, I can. That may be, but I want you to think of an illustration where a human, mortal being, talked with somebody who had already passed on into the next dimension.
It's in the book of Job, but I don't remember. Isn't it like
there's one case that I'm thinking of? There could be a few others that I'm not, but one case was Saul. And he spoke with Samuel, and Samuel got really irritated. Saul, why are you calling me back? I don't remember if it's in 1st or 2nd Samuel, but the prophet Samuel had already died, and Saul was desperate to find his guidance late in his life. He'd gone so out of whack.
Saul was being a party pooper. He didn't want to.
Okay. So there's one instance. Now, Scott, why did Samuel get mad with Saul there? There's something evidently Saul was. He didn't quite understand, or he was
obvious. Out of order. Obviously, I mean, Samuel was in what we would call his eternity. He was there with the Lord.
Yeah, we would.
And what more of a shocker to be dragged back into, dragged back into this life.
That's good. That's a fair way to explain it.
Yeah.
Samuel says, I don't want to be dragged back there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I don't want to be driven back into the mortal flesh. I don't want any I don't want to be bound anymore by the mortal flesh. So if we know we are free, we're in our spirit as Christ, we are free from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to change our attitude or our conversation?
That's hard to answer.
All right, let's give an example.
It's hard to answer because there's still that anchor there as far as the physical body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here, give you an example. If you have a friend or a relative, now I want to be careful here and not be suggesting that this is a standard all case in general. In other words, this is not something you can apply or use indefinitely for every case, but it's a principle.
Mm-hmm.
You're with somebody who is ill, and there is no good reason why they're ill. How should you talk to them? What terms or what phrases or what ideas could you convey into their mind, into their consciousness, into their spirit?
I have to ask my pastor.
All right. Let's go. There are two other questions here in our assignment. There's two phrases, and this may be help us. This may. One phrase says, "All that God says, I will do." The other phrase is, "Christ is all that I am." Now, have you ever heard yourself saying, "Whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it"? What is that? Is that reminiscent of something you may have heard before in the scriptures, or?
Well, it's reminiscent of something that I've heard in church before.
Mm-hmm. You've heard it plenty. You've heard it preached. I've preached it. Just do what God tells you. That's the success in life. But what is that? That's the language of death. That I can be someone or I can do something within my mortal flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to say to somebody who's having a difficulty or having an issue, maybe even an illness, and you say to them, just do what God tells you. Just be more obedient. Just have more faith.
Doesn't that turn? It's probably a different discussion, but that, I mean, doesn't that turn our salvation into something where we have our ability is what determines it?
It's fleshly.
Right.
And God says, in that vein,
by grace, you
can never please God. Romans 8:8.
Yeah.
Now the other phrase, Christ is all that I am. Those are words of life. So if you say to a person who is ill, you know who you are in Christ. Listen to the words of life.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak Christ into them, connecting to their spirits and helping them understand who they really are, you're leading them into victory.
That's the conversation I had with my mom before she passed.
Mm-hmm. Now listen to this statement again in Romans. This is a powerful thing, and we don't know, none of us have really understood how to see this actually happening, but it does. It can. The truth is there. Romans 8:11. Now, if the spirit of him, who is him, Christ, God, who rouses Jesus from among the dead, is making its home in you, he who rouses Christ Jesus from among the dead will also be, in the word here in the concordant, literal, is vivifying, meaning energizing, almost like resurrecting, your mortal bodies because of his spirit making his home in you. Isn't that amazing?
You know what I think that's referring to? I think that's referring to our life after our mortal bodies have gone away.
Scott, I want you to go back and read the context. I want you to read that and tell me that applies only after death.
Could you tell me the verse again?
Romans 8:11.
Oh, that was Romans 8:11.
Paul is saying, this is what happens. This is the potential we have as we exercise the law of the spirit of life. And how do we exercise the spirit of law of Christ? We speak Jesus. We speak life.
So if we speak life, then we'll never die?
Scott, you never will. Anyway.
Oh, we're going back to this now.
What you're doing is, how do we describe it? You are exercising the spiritual law. And ultimately let's put it, ultimately, this is what will happen to our mortal bodies. We'll all lose this mortal body.
That's
before Christ comes or when he comes, right? And when he's, mm-hmm. When we see him, when the parousia of Christ,
mm-hmm.
we'll all lose these bodies. But until then, do we have to live as though this is all there is? I can't change anything. I have to live with this disease. I have to live with this circumstance. This thing is going to take me. I don't have any hope. I don't have any a way to live beyond this. Is that the way we're to live? Because if it is, then let's just throw this whole thing away.
I kind of look at it because I've kind of had to face that a little bit. And it's just like, I feel like now it's just where before, you know, I just felt like there's going to be sadness and then, I don't know, I go through a tunnel or, but I just feel like we won't miss a beat. Like it's a fluid transition and we are so much freer without the boundaries of our body or our vessel.
Yeah. See,
I'm not buying it.
If
you know what, Scott, I have a list of people I want to mess with and you're on it.
let me explain myself, Dennis.
Yeah, you keep trying, Scott. Yeah,
I know. But before my mom passed away, I was told that same thing by people in the church.
That what?
Yeah, this illness does not define her. This is not this is not how God wants her to live. Yada yada yada.
Okay.
Well, it turns out, church people, that didn't make her better.
No.
So obviously, that is how God wanted her to live.
Now, if you could have a conversation with your mother, and you could ask her, Mom, your body was going through the law of death. It was being opposed by the law of death. Your body was succumbing to that. How are you feeling? What was your knowing? What was your hope? Were you living in subjection to that and thinking this is it? I'm glad it's all negative. Was your mom negative?
Yeah, she was negative on a lot of days when I would see her.
Okay. Was there days when she was positive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I know that she's in a better place now.
Right.
I do know that.
Mm-hmm. Was there at any time in her illness when she had this notion, this won't defeat me? I know where I'm going. I know who I am.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, she had those positive days, but it didn't help her.
It's not going to. Yes, you're right. It didn't change the ultimate outcome. We all will lose our bodies one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how will we live until that time? Will we live in this utter despondency? Ugh, I know I'm going to eventually die. So what?
No, it's not you. I mean, I was really fed a lot of stuff while I was through that by people in the church. You know,
we all are.
And it was.
But we're gonna. Those of you, Arnold, and many of you, in some minor cases, myself, we've all faced situations in which our mortal bodies have suffered in some way. Beth, you were referring to a situation you just currently came through.
Cancer diagnosis, yeah.
Yeah. How do we live in the face of that? How are we to live in the context of, yeah, this body is suffering, this vessel is deteriorating, but this, my hope, my reality, my excitement is that I still am alive in Christ. That's why Paul could say, no matter what the world throws at me, persecution, suffering, all of these things, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If God is for us, who's against us? He's working all things for the good. When you see a person lying on a hospital bed, totally despondent, and remorseful and dejected, you know that they're not understanding their true life. The spirit of them is being squelched by the law of sin and death.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. We got you.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was in the hospital on the second surgery and it really bad complications that happened. And
Keep going. I just want to shut a window here. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was fighting for life, and the doctors were just on the edge of inducing coma and putting me in a ventilator that I may not have come out from. Meanwhile, they called my son and my sister in from over 1,000 miles away. But as I was laying there and had family talking to me, I was just really indifferent to death. I could have easily slipped into death. And I think at that point, it wasn't the flesh or the wasn't an issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had something in you, the spirit in you, that was saying to this death, no, you won't defeat me.
Yeah.
And even when you, again, we're all going to lose this body, right? That's going to happen. But what I'm trying to say is we don't need to surrender to that. We don't need to live as though we're dead.
No.
Right?
I sure don't today.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are living that way. They live as though they're dead. Well, I'm just going to die anyway. So that takes all the joy. It takes the thrill. It takes everything out of your life, in the mortal life, that potentially could be yours, the joy, the triumph, the victory. All of those things that we're to enjoy as life in Christ while we live in this mortal body. Thanks for sharing that, Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
So no one really knows when we're finally going to lose this mortal body. But that's not a problem. Am I afraid of that, or am I walking around anxiously? No, that's not the end of me. And if I have the opportunity, I'm going to speak that same potential into my brothers and sisters, or those that don't even know Jesus lives in them. I'm going to say to them, your life is Christ. you do have life. You have a, you can have aeonian life. Just know, just knowing who you are, knowing
the Father. Life into them.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I want to be very careful here, but and I won't name names or anything, but just recently had an opportunity to person I was meeting with was horribly under suffering from stomach distress, right? And to the point where it's becoming so unbearable, I thought we were going to have to part and they would return home. And while sitting there across from him, under my breath, I just said, life. Jesus, you're his life. He didn't hear that because I wasn't speaking it audibly. I was just saying it under my breath. I was amazed. In a matter of moments, his countenance changed. And we continued on having a conversation as though there was no distress. And I marveled at, wait a minute. How does this person come out of this horrible stress that quickly? Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but I want to believe this God gave me this illustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because you spoke words of life, and mm-hmm. we either speak words of life or death.
Exactly.
And it sounds, you know, it's very profound because we, energy is measurable when we vocalize something.
Oh, wow. You're so right. And even without it being loud, releasing that energy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some might get a little bit, woo, this sounds kind of ooey. But this is exactly the power.
Well, but it's like, it's like heat sensors when they're looking for criminals or infra. We emit things that can, mm-hmm. with technology, is now measurable,
mm-hmm.
and the human voice emits energy. Wow. And so that is, we speak words of life or words of death.
Yes.
It can really, really change what comes mm-hmm. out of your mouth.
This is what Romans 10, 8 and 9 is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, faith is near you. It is in your mouth. And so when we confess, when he's saying confess, he's saying speak Christ as your Lord.
Mm-hmm. When Jesus did his healings, he didn't.
What did he say, Scott?
No, he spoke it to him.
Yes. Be whole.
Yeah. Rise and walk.
Right. Isn't that amazing how we've always got in our minds you have to really pray and be... prevail and intercede and mm-hmm. lay hands and anoint with oil. And yes, there are instances of that. And
don't forget the fasting. Yep.
Hands on and all that. Jesus was very casual about healing. He just spoke it.
Yeah. And I think some of the apostles did as well. Mm-hmm.
And so Scott, you asked me, did Jesus ever show this principle?
What principle?
Of operating in the spirit of life.
Yeah, when we're speaking about the healings, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not only that, I think when he spoke life to the woman at the well, also.
Yes, spiritually.
And
as a matter of fact, it changed her life physically as well.
Yeah, and the lady who was her. The woman who was caught in adultery, they're about to stone her, and he spoke life into her as well.
Great illustration. No more I don't condemn you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's words of life.
Go and sin no more.
Wow. So who are we going to set free today? And this is what creation is waiting for. We are practicing this until it comes to the final day in which there will not be any more death. Mortality will be swallowed up with life. But that doesn't mean we have to wait for that day. We can operate in that now. Creation is waiting for that unveiling, that manifestation of sons of God who know how to apply the spiritual law of life.
A lot of it is just speaking truth. It's, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, Beth. The truth will set you free. And that's why all along we are learning to speak the truth. What is the truth? Not what man has told us, what man made up. What is the truth? What does God say? God says we have only one life. And that life is Christ. That's who we are. Our mortal bodies does not dictate who we are. That's the shell. That's the house. That's the temporary dwelling. Mm-hmm. And it's that dwelling. Get this. If we didn't have this corruptible dwelling, would we even want or have the need to operate in this principle? We wouldn't be having the opportunity to understand what it really meant to be or means to be as a son of God. Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that we could know the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, gang. Speak life.
Good session, Dennis. Good session.
Yeah. Really good.
This is exciting as we get to know who we are and mm-hmm. the power of grace that lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Set some creation free this week, guys. See you next week.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Have a God great bless, everybody.
Grace to all.
Yeah, everyone. See you next.